You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Have you heard of the bacterial clock? Yeah, can't get one for the holidays. How about bactricity? Maybe a vacuum cleaner. Well, you haven't heard of that? Well, they have one thing in common. They're all synthetic biology projects that whiz kid undergraduates have dreamt up for the 2008 International Genetically Engineered Machine Competition, the iGEM. The idea is to use a toolbox of biological parts, like different snippets of DNA, for example, to build a machine that operates inside living cells, inside bacteria, inside yeast. And using this approach, students are making cellular biofuel factories, they're devising organic sensors, even solving simple calculations with bacterial computers. In 5 years, the program has grown from just a few teams to over 80. And the budding scientists this year hail from four continents, and they are on their way to the Massachusetts Institute of Technology right now to show off their creations in the 2008 International Genetically Engineered Machine Competition, the iGEM. And that's what we're going to be talking about. If you'd like to join us, our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. Also, we're now Twittering. You know what that is. If you want to send us a tweet, if you don't know how to do that, here's how you do it. You just write the at sign followed by Cifritter. That's our address, Cifritter. Your name, at sign, Cifritter, and we'll get a tweet from you. Also, in Second Life, you can join the folks over there in Science Friday Island. Let me introduce my guest. My first guest is a mentor to the Harvard team. She's been involved in the iGEM since the beginning. Pam Silver is a professor of systems biology, director of the Harvard University Graduate Program in Systems Biology at Harvard Med School, and she joins us from Boston. Welcome to the program, Dr. Silver.
Hello, Ira. How are you?
Hi, how are you? My other guest has tackled his first iGEM project last year when he was still in high school, joining up with the University of California San Francisco team. And this year he's working with a Chinese team, and he'll tell us a bit about how he ended up there. Eric Meltzer is a competitor on the Beijing-Peking University iGEM team. He joins us over the phone from MIT. Welcome to Science Friday, Eric.
How's it going?
It's going well. Let's talk about these projects. Dr. Silva, why call these things genetically engineered machines? Aren't they cells or something? What's the difference?
Sure, they're cells, but they're machines. So machines do work, Ira. They they take in energy and they do things. So you think about the kinds of machines you know. Your car takes you to work. Drills make holes. We use computers to do calculations. But these are all non-renewing machines. They don't self-replicate themselves. Then you think about what nature does. Nature presents us with an overwhelming number of engineering ideas that aren't even being tackled by regular engineers. Cells are incredibly elegant machines. They can capture light and make things. They can sense single odorant molecules and send signals to your brain. So we have all of nature at our, we need to take advantage of all of nature and understand it to build interesting things.
So basically, are we hooking up sort of parts of our bodies to parts of machines, or give me an example?
Well, the simplest examples are some of the ones you began with. Are taping bacteria, which is probably one of the best well-oiled machines that nature makes, and programming it to do things. So, for example, programming it to count, programming it to take pictures. One of the original iGEM projects in the first year was making the E. coli graph. So these were bacteria that were sensitive to light and could either make themselves either black or white. And so you could make a picture from a group of cells growing together. So those are some of the simplest examples, I think. You mentioned some this year. I happen to like the Harvard team one, obviously, of making cells that can measure current. There's one I was looking through. There's making cells that will stick to things because they are they're going to make the muscle, the protein from muscles that causes them to stick to surfaces. Mm-hmm. So those are examples. Those are very simple examples. And we work with bacteria usually in the iGEM teams because they grow fast. We have a number of parts that can be used in bacteria. As I said, they're already the well-oiled machine that nature gives us to work with. That said, going forward, my laboratory and many others hope to extend this beyond simple organisms.
Mm-hmm. Eric, let's talk about your project. You're competing this year with the Peking University team. How'd you end up there?
Actually, we met Peking at the Jamboree last year, and there was kind of talk of an exchange, and I immediately thought that would be really, really cool, so I kind of jumped on the opportunity. And it ended up that two Peking students came to UCSF this year, and I went there.
Mm-hmm. And what is your project?
So our project is an evolution machine. So essentially, like in the same way that a species will evolve to suit its niche, like Darwin's finches, for example, proteins will also evolve to better suit their purpose. Mm-hmm. So like maybe you'd have a protein that a bacterium might use to copy DNA, and it'll get better and better at copying DNA. Or maybe, you know, another protein will get better and better at breaking down a certain nutrient. But in nature, it takes millions and millions of years to actually do that. And so in the lab, you can shorten that period down. You can shorten it down to maybe a few months or maybe half a year to produce a new protein by directed evolution. But it's a really, really difficult process to do. And it's not very creative work. So it's kind of the work that most scientists hate to do. And at Peking, we thought this work was actually much better suited for bacteria than it was for people. So we created this genetic circuit to run the whole process. And actually, just very recently, we got back some data that says it works. So we're really excited.
What do you mean it works? What does working mean?
Well, so essentially we took a protein called Gal4, and it's a protein that's found in yeast. And actually we're using yeast rather than bacteria because yeast is, although it's single-celled, very, very similar to a lot of mammalian cells and a lot of the cells that make up our own body. Yeast is a eukaryote, which means that it has a real nucleus, and it can process proteins in a very complex way that maybe bacteria can't. So we decided to actually put our whole project into yeast. So anyway, we took this protein called Gal4, and we essentially broke it. We made it so it doesn't work anymore and can't fulfill its function. And then we put it into our evolution machine and set up the machine such that it would evolve the protein back to full function. And, you know, this was a kind of a first proof of concept thing. We weren't entirely sure it would work, and no one was, you know, that optimistic, and then it ended up working terrifically. So it's back to full function.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Silver, tell us what the Harvard team is working on this year.
So the Harvard team is trying to take advantage of cells that produce an electrical current and to use that current as a measuring device. So they are going to interface these current-producing cells with other cells that, say, secrete something, and then the current-producing cells will register that as a current and send it off to a voltmeter so you can measure how much is going on in the system. So they're basically using the cells to generate current and as a measuring device.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like theirs actually may work, too.
We have a Twitter. Actually, we're Twittering. Do you know what Twittering is, Dr. Zoller?
Yes.
Good.
Of course. Of course. Do you know?
Well, I'm just finding out. We're actually, Science Friday is Twittering. We have
we need to make a bacteria that can Twitter, right?
Can you make us one?
Sure.
Would that be? No, seriously, can you make a bacteria that could Twitter? I mean, somehow work with
bacteria.
A computer.
That's in essence making a simple counter, which is there are many iGEM teams trying to make bacterial computers or computer in yeast, for example. So those are some of the iGEM projects.
Well, we are Twittering at Science Friday starting this today, and here's how you can Twitter
with us. That's really exciting.
You can write the @ followed by CyFritter, that's our name, CyFritter. And you can Twitter along with us, and we'd be very happy to hear from you. In fact, we have our very first Twitter message, our tweet, as they call it, coming in from Elaine Train. And the question is, can the grad students come from any school? How do you get involved in this?
So, hi, Elaine, and congratulations on being the first Twitter. That's really exciting. So the beauty of iGEM is it's very much grassroots. So any school can start a team. The first step is you go to the website, iGEM, and it gives you very precise instructions on how to start a team. You don't need a lot of money to start a team. What you really need are students that are willing to be engaged and willing to empower themselves to spend a summer doing this and mm-hmm. asking themselves, what do you want to build? So, Elaine, what do you want to build?
She'll answer back in that. I guess she'll Twitter
okay.
us back. Eric, tell us your thoughts on that. How is it scary? Do you feel like you're up against some big competition?
Well, I mean, so I guess last year when I was on the UCSF team, we were all from various high schools, and our team was the only high school team among a bunch of undergrads. And, I mean, UCSF was very supportive in that process, but I think I'd like just really echo what Pamela said, that really anyone can get involved in iGEM. All it takes is interest. And, you know, at Peking University, we had 160 or 170 people in the iGEM club, you know, fighting to be on the team. So they're really, the interest is definitely there, and mm-hmm. it's this very open thing, which is great.
Let's go to the
and
phone.
I think,
oh, go ahead.
Well, can
sure.
I echo another thing that Eric said? I'm really impressed with the high school students that were involved in this, and we're hoping to engage more high school students. They've really exemplified what iGEM is all about, mm-hmm. and kudos to you, Eric, for doing that.
We're talking this hour about a synthetic biology science fair, if you just joined us, coming up at MIT this weekend. It's called iGEM, the International Genetically Engineered Machine Competition. Let's go to Shomari in Oakland. Hi there.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a question about your Dr. Silverman mentioned that bacteria were like machines. And my question was, how do you make a bacteria machine? Do you modify the DNA of the bacteria?
Yeah.
Or how do you do that?
Good question, Dr. Silver or Eric. Take us through the steps. How do you put the parts together?
So they're pieces of DNA, and they are introduced into the bacteria on what we call vectors. These are pieces of DNA that are capable of self-replicating as the cell divides. Mm-hmm. And that's how you introduce the parts into the cell. You add a bunch of salts and things like that to get the DNA in, and then you use a drug resistance marker or some other way to make sure that the plasmid has gotten into the cells. That may have been a little technical.
Keep
it's a
going.
Piece of DNA.
And then what
it's
happens?
A piece
when,
of DNA,
yeah, yes.
And it goes into the cell.
Right.
And because DNA is the genetic material, it is capable of replicating itself.
Okay. Keep going. So it replicates in the cell, and then how does it turn it into a machine?
That's where the design component comes in. Mm-hmm. So if you want to, for example, make a cell that can count, then you need to design the parts that you need, and then you produce the DNA that you need for the cell to make those parts.
So the DNA
does... And those parts can be DNA,
right.
They can be RNA, they can be proteins, they can be lipids, they can be any part of the cell.
Any part, and can we make the cell light up when it comes up with the answer?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, the Nobel Prize was just given for a protein, a very special protein from the from the jellyfish, which naturally fluoresces. And so it's a very powerful tool in that you can put it in bacteria and they will turn green when they have this protein so they can tell you an answer. So, for example, there was an iGEM project from the University of Edinburgh team where they made cells that could sense the level of arsenite in water. And so they would light up in response to how much arsenite was there. And this actually turns out to be a very useful machine because arsenite in well water is a serious problem in the third world. So that's a really nice example of a team doing something that has a direct application in the world.
Talking about iGEM this hour and Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Talking with Dr. Pam Silver and with Eric Melter. So you theoretically could then take all these little parts and put them into people, into our own cells to monitor, you know, if we're getting sick or ill
or
poisoned or any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
That's the dream.
Eric?
Well, yeah.
Go ahead, Eric.
A group that came to mind at Berkeley that's making a bacteria that essentially can go through your veins and can search for cancer. And so it detects tumors because tumors tend to have lower oxygen than the rest of the body, as they're not as well served by blood vessels. And so this E. coli, which has been specially modified to not set off your immune system, can then just hunt through your body for tumors. And when it finds one, it could do a lot of things. It could, you know, as we previously mentioned, it could light up using that green fluorescent protein. And then another thing that it could do that the people who are working on this at Berkeley have engineered it to do is release a factor called tumor necrosis factor that actually shrinks the tumor.
Wow.
So you could really have these bacteria, you know, patrolling your body for cancer. And that's just one of the kind of human interface.
And I think an extension on that same idea is you could have cells that will deliver drugs under certain conditions. So you could have, imagine having a drug delivery device that will only deliver drugs at night or something like that.
Eric, tell us what's going to happen this weekend. There's a competition. Does everybody like those dioramas you see at science fairs?
Not quite. Everyone has posters. And I guess actually some people do bring physical product to iGEM. Last year, the Berkeley team had this Bacto blood. And so it was basically bacteria that had been engaged to express hemoglobin. And they actually showed up with a few vials of this, you know, red liquid, which was pretty
cool. And remember the smelly bacteria also.
Oh, right. Also, MIT had a project where they had bacteria. So normally E. coli smells really, really bad. And they knocked out the genes that made it smell bad, and they put in some genes that made it smell like mint and smell like bananas and all sorts of nice things. So they had that, and they had people sniffing it, which was pretty cool.
Wow. So if you could make that sounds like a product.
Oh, yeah.
Those are called O. D. coli.
Right.
That's and so the people will be competing. Is there a prize? Do you win big prize money here?
It's not money. There are a few awards. There's like finalists, and there's various medals given out for compliance with standards, which is, I guess, a big part of iGEM is that they're really trying to get everyone to make these standardized parts,
right,
so that other teams can use them later. And they're giving awards for, you know, the degree of compliance with that. And then there's also, you know, real awards for like how well the project did and all that kind of thing. So it is a competition.
Yeah, do you patent? I mean, somebody could steal your idea, I would think.
Well, I guess the real beauty of iGEM for me is that it's this really open source thing. And it's like, I guess at some conferences, if you go to a conference, people are kind of jealously guarding their ideas.
Yeah.
But at iGEM, it's the total opposite. Everyone's really, you know, there and sharing their ideas. And it really is this phenomenally open thing, which is just great.
I think there's also an atmosphere, at least when we started iGEM, of sort of everyone's a winner. Just showing up makes you a winner.
Well, where should we show? Is it open to the public? Can people go this
absolutely,
weekend?
Absolutely.
Where is it?
It's at MIT in the Stata Center. It's a fabulous thing. Registration, but it's going to be really crowded this year. This is the biggest year yet. There's 800 students and participants there, but people can come.
All right, that's this weekend at MIT at Harvard. If you want to go see those great projects, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Eric.
Thanks, Pam. Thanks, Eric. Pam Silver is professor of systems biology and director of the Harvard University Graduate Program in System Biology at Harvard Med School. Eric Melcher is a competitor on the Beijing-Peking University iGEM team. Stay with us. We're going to come back and talk about what you think Barack Obama should pay attention to in science. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.